everybody, and welcome to Season 2, Episode 10 of Rift Happens, and this is an extremely special episode, not only because I have Chase back in the co-host seat all the way over there on the far right, but we also have another familiar face to the Coach Rivals, basically community that we're partnering with and have some really exciting things coming in the future. We have Gavin Lee joining us, special guest, CEO and co-founder of Gwoop. Gavin, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be on.
Awesome. Well, I do want to start off our talk here without getting into the nitty-gritty of why Gavin's here and kind of talking about Gwoop and things that are coming in the future. We'll start kind of lighthearted. How is everybody's week? Gavin, I'll let you go first since you're our special guest.
You know, it's good. So we were on spring break last week. My wife's an educator and my daughter started kindergarten, so we are fully devoted to that school calendar now. Wow. So just getting back in the groove. It's Monday.
Yeah, for sure. And kindergarten, those are exciting times.
It's a new adventure, you know. It's something that we have no experience over. Oh, I should say I don't. My wife has much more experience. But yeah, it's new to me.
Awesome. Well, my daughter's actually graduating high school this year within the next like 6 weeks or so. So I'm kind of on the opposite end of that, but it's an adventure. In fact, my wife was just going back and looking through like her Facebook memories, and the elementary school posted a class picture from when the kids that would be graduating this year were in like second grade or kindergarten or something like that. And so they're inviting all those kids back to the school to walk the hall like a procession or something through. So, yeah, really, really cool stuff. So, yeah, cherish it. It goes by very, very quickly.
That's what everyone says, and now I believe it, right? I mean, each year I'm just like, holy smokes.
And it makes you feel older and older the older they get.
Exactly.
Chase, how was your week, brother?
Pretty good. You know, enjoyed the weekend and playing in B-Wims' tournament as the Dark Horse crew, the coaches, to round out a high school tournament. So that was fun. We made up our own rules and we were victorious over everyone, regardless of what anyone says. You know, like you, I've got a graduate coming up here in June, and then another one's a freshman this year, you know, and just, you know, living life and trying to figure out what the next phase is going to be, you know, once everybody's done with their responsibilities and I don't have to be everyday dad all the time anymore. Like that's going to be the weirdest change.
I've got another podcast that I do through the school district, and one of our topics of conversation a couple weeks ago was on career opportunities that our high schools present to our students that are beyond the scope of just college. And it made me kind of self-reflect and realize that anytime I usually like tell somebody that, yeah, my daughter's a senior, it usually follows up with the question of, oh, well, where's she going to college? And it's like, well, she may not be going to college. She could just be doing something completely different. But it seems to be even, you know, I graduated 20 years ago and that was the big question then. But even, you know, 20 years removed from that, that's still a common question that comes up for high school kids that are about to exit the high school space. It seems like college seems to be that default pathway that everybody wants to ask about.
Totally. And part of it, I think, I know like in Europe they do it. The U.S. should just automatically incorporate that gap year, right? Like make that year. Because, I mean, looking back, I graduated 20 years ago as well. I mean, I didn't know what I wanted to do.
Right.
Whether it be school or work or, you know, whatever it may be. So, yeah, it's definitely still the default. So,
yeah, for sure. Before we get into other conversations, before we talk a little bit more about Gwoop, I do want to pose one question to the group. We've never really talked about this, but for each of you to share all-time favorite video game, because, you know, we're all, you know, gamers. I see Gavin's poster back there in the background, which is epic, by the way, the old classic NES controller back there. So we're going to start with Chase. Gavin, I'm going to give you a chance to think about it, but Chase, hit us with it. All-time favorite video game.
You know, honestly, I have to go old school. My first games, pretty much anything on Intellivision. And my first, yeah, I know, I went all the way back to the wood grain console. and then my favorite that got me into computer gaming and stuff was on the Commodore 64, Chronicles of Narnia.
Okay.
Those were my all-time favorite. If I could play right now, I would.
Wow. All right, Gavin, hit us.
Well, like all of us, there's so many, right? And I have a lot of tier two games that I would play if given the opportunity anytime. But there's one, and if any of my team members are, you know, and colleagues are watching, they already know what I'm going to say. But it's Halo, the original CE. And, you know, that really did it. I think it was, I mean, and it'll age me. It was my senior year of high school when that came out. So it was, I think it was the timing of it all, mm-hmm. right? Like Xbox coming out, LAN parties with the Xbox on the TV. And it just, I think it definitely had to do with the timing of it as well. And then going, you know, freshman year of college with it. So, but I still love the Halo, still, you know, playing Infinite now. Enjoying it, and I know a lot of people aren't, but I still am. So in our next team, our next team game day, we do one Friday a month team game days. We're doing Halo Infinite, so awesome. I need to finally win. My CTO crushes me, and the co-founder Tony crushes me at everything, so I finally picked Infinite so I could actually get a W under my belt. But if he beats me, then I might be in depression.
So. Awesome. For me, I grew up on the Super Nintendo and the JRPGs from them. So like Final Fantasy, which was Final Fantasy 3, I believe, American Final Fantasy. There was like Final Fantasy 6 within the chronology. That was probably my all time favorite. And then games like Chrono Trigger were life changing. For me, and just how video games can tell a story, you know, and really get you like really, you know, involved and just sucked into this narrative, just visual storytelling, interactive storytelling, really, really cool stuff. Well, thank you guys for being here, and let's get into why we're here and talk to Gavin about Gwoop. For anybody that's unfamiliar, Gavin, you can correct me in this. I'm gonna do my best to summarize what Gwoop is. There's just so much going on. But Gwoop is a browser-based esports or slash gaming training platform, really, for teams to hop on, participate in the browser-based training games, develop baselines, get measurable data for themselves, and then set goals. I can go into my list of the ones that are favorite for our listeners. This is primarily for like League of Legends coaches, but the ones that I think are particularly useful for League of Legends would be keyboard speed. And they recently, I missed the patch notes on this, but they changed it because previously the keyboard speed game used every single key on the keyboard, but now you can actually custom tailor that keyboard speed game to only the keys that you want. So if you're playing League of Legends, you can narrow it all the way down to Q, W, E, and R. You could even throw spacebar on there if you want to do some camera lock and stuff like that. Awesome, awesome addition there. But in addition to the keyboard speed game, we also have, I think, rapid click is really good. I think reaction time is fantastic for it. Really a lot of things that translate into gameplay. And I am going to shout out our co-host that couldn't make it tonight, Lucas. He really likes Gwoop for the idea that it brings in something for him that comes from traditional sports, which is incorporating daily warm-ups into practices and things of that nature. So he, you know, with his volleyball in traditional sports, he likes to stretch before practice, do some warm-ups, do some small group game, things of that nature. When he translates that over to esports, he's thinking, you know, stretching before practice, you know, some wrist stretches and finger stretches, and then 10 to 15 minutes of Gwoop activities before you hop into actual gameplay. So it has a really awesome spot that fits into our Scholastic Esports space. In a nutshell, Gavin, did I miss anything? Is that
group? You crushed it. And you crushed it because you kind of pat yourself on the back because of a lot of those adjustments on keyboard speed in that rapid click game where, you know, some of the early things you brought up right off the bat. And we credit our coaches the most because, you know, without the feedback, we wouldn't know what to improve on that our users actually want. So thanks to all the coaches out there.
Yeah, for sure. And Chase, you know, like kind of get into your experience with Gwoop here.
So for us, I think the hardest part, you know, we're talking about feedback and stuff. The hardest part is that my guys right now are Rocket League and Smash. Mm-hmm. And so the translation to some of that stuff, I have to work for to convince them to do that type of stuff. But the benefit of it is it forces them off of the game that they're playing and allows them to use a different part of their brain. And I mean, with high school, and it doesn't matter if you're male or female, as long as you have some sort of competition at stake, you know, it doesn't matter. It could be who could tie their shoes the fastest or who could un-Velcro something. Like, make it a competition. It's going to work. And then on a personal note, I worked with it with my father-in-law a couple days ago. And I was talking to my mother-in-law about that, but my father-in-law has suffered from strokes over the last year. And so his big thing is he wants to be able to drive again, but that can be, you know, just dangerous in that sense. So we've been actually working on the timing with the, you know, click on orange and the colors changing and stuff like that. And doing a little bit of time with him working on that. And, you know, in the sense of helping him on his reaction time, even though it's a click of a button, it still is getting his brain stronger and working again. So personally, that's how I use it. And then I get my guys to do it just to give them time away from their games and work on, in, you know, adjusting their brain and giving some time off of that.
Awesome. So that's the first time I've heard, and Chase, I don't know if you've ever shared that with anybody else as far as your father-in-law getting in him involved. But Gavin, have you heard similar stories to that before?
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, so people in the health and medical spaces have brought it up and that they've been getting, you know, using it creatively. And it's definitely been on our radar to kind of begin looking that direction. But we're so focused on esports and dedicated to especially Scholastic esports. We just haven't strayed to marketing it that way yet. But yeah, it's definitely on our radar.
That's awesome. That's really cool. So Gavin, just to kind of, I guess, set the stage for us, you mentioned Halo back in the day, so we know a little bit of your gaming background, but how does that translate and lead you into your current involvement with esports, you know, with Gwoop and all that? Kind of give us take us on a journey here.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, my background has mostly been as a serial entrepreneur and twice in gaming prior to this, and once as a ed tech game. And so just always been really passionate about it. You know, but really as growing up and playing all sorts of video games, right? StarCraft, Rainbow Six, and then Halo. And, you know, I've always wished there was more, right? More to it. And then as we got older, esports became a thing and teams started competing. And I was always envious of all those kids that were able to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, going on the other side of things, I was a competitive tennis player growing up, played other sports as well. But, you know, I played tennis into college and then I began coaching at the high school level. And then so fast forward, right, to about 2020, you know, high school starting to have teams, didn't love the job I was at. And I was like, you know, there's a lot of opportunity. And I began talking to coaches and they're like, I'm like, what do you do for practice? You know, and they're like, well, we just kind of play the game over and over again. And, you know, and coaches are at all different levels, right? Obviously, there's experienced coaches that figured some things out. And so Gwoop was born on that premise of, you know, in traditional sports, you train, you drill, you lift weights. And I wanted to bring something like that to the kids, essentially, on, you know, helping them improve on some of these essential skills. So, you know, we created this platform as a genre agnostic training platform. Like you said, Justin, it doesn't matter if you're an FPS or sports or a MOBA player. We wanted to create those and improve those raw skills, you know, kind of like the 40-yard dash and high jump or bench press. We wanted to, you know, improve reaction time, keyboard speed, et cetera. So Gloop was born on that. And from the very first days, as we reached out to you, Justin, and all these great coaches out there that all have – very different experience, right? Some are gamers, some aren't. Some play video games daily, some haven't played since the Atari. And hearing feedback from all of these folks was essential to where we are today. And it really helped paint, you know, what direction we go to. You know, we are, you know, like you said, we're browser based because we want to make it as accessible as possible to as many schools as possible, whether they have gaming rigs or 8-year-old Chromebooks, you know, the games, the keyboard game improvements. So since day one, that's kind of been our mission. And here we are.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think you're doing a fantastic job. I've been a Gloop fan for a long time now. And even our Coach Rivals is putting in chat there something that I left out. I was talking about the things that I really like, and a new update that came through was the Gamer Ready report, which after you complete it a few times, it's kind of benchmarking and showing you. It's almost like this game that, or it's really three games back to back. It takes you through the series. Tests your reaction, your speed, and your timing, and kind of benchmarks that for you so that when you go in the next day, it's like, okay, are you still kind of up to speed with where you were the previous time that you played and things of that nature. So they're throwing that in chat. I think that's a really awesome addition to and something that I would incorporate as well. So this is probably a question you get asked a lot just because it is a really, really unique name, but give us the origin of the Gloop name. How did this come about?
Well, you know, I do get asked that a lot, and I should start making up a better story than what I have. But well, and here's the truth is, you know, it was 2001, 2002, and, you know, Google was, you know, becoming prominent and dominant, and I was like, Google. So I just started buying up 5-letter domain names that you can actually pronounce, and Gloop happened to be one of them. Okay. So literally 19 years later, you know, Gloop was born, and my co-founder Tony didn't object to it, and no one really objected to it. So I was like, all right, we're going to go with it. So Gloop is here to stay, and it's fun to say, and my kids, you know, they do Whoop, There It Is, the song by Tag Team.
I was thinking the same thing.
And, you know, so they're 5 and 2, and they do Kids Bop does a version of it. And I think they literally think it's Whoop, There It Is. And I'm afraid she's telling her kindergarten classmates, that's my dad's song. And I wish, but it's not.
But for the time being, it is. The answer is
yes.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yes.
Absolutely. Until it's embarrassing for them, it's going to be yes.
So I love that story too, because really Gloop could have been anything, but it just so happens that now it's the, you know, online esports training platform. But this domain that's just been sitting there that you've had, it really could, no matter any other entrepreneurial journey you could have taken with, like, I don't know, men's underwear or something.
That's right.
It could have been that.
I held on to it for something special, so hopefully hopefully it pans out. But, you know, Gloop, a lot of people come, what does it mean, gaming, you know, like, because it starts with G, but no, it's nothing fancy. It's not an acronym for anything. It's just Gloop. Wow. 5 letters. Something you can say.
I like it. Yeah, it's easy to say. It's fun to say. It definitely causes people to ask questions, so I think that's always good. So you mentioned Gloop being a totally browser-based platform. I love that. And as a member of a school district that is a one-to-one school district, where all of our kids have Chromebooks, It's really cool because the kids, no matter where they're at, they can get on Gwoop. But at the same time, you know, it presents another challenge for us because anything that's browser-based, the kids always want to be on and play, even if they're on Chromebooks, right? They can't install things. But you mentioned earlier wanting to do the browser-based route versus software just for ease of access. But has there been any like challenges that y'all have faced, you know, trying to go that route as opposed to the software route?
Yeah, I mean, we've probably weekly I bring up doing a PC client as well because we get a lot of feedback going that way. Mm-hmm. You know, I think for us, 80% of our users are, you know, fine with the web-based, browser-based activities and games, and you know, especially the data and analytics, that's fine. But we do come across the more hardcore gamers with the gaming rigs that we want to create that PC client for, and we get it, right? And we all of us get it. I mean, it's going to perform better if it's, you know, downloaded locally, and so it's definitely something that we talk about. And we are going to do eventually, but there's so much on our development background backlog that we'll touch on later that Ooh. Is exciting. So, it's all about priority. And if I had some of the development team from, you know, Facebook or Amazon, we'd get it all done. But, we have our small nimble team and they're a bunch of all-stars and we get it done. So it'll be done eventually.
Yeah, awesome. I think really, just personally, my opinion is that I just kind of look at the purpose of it, and you still, even through the browser-based platform, you can still reach that, you know, basically what the end goal is, which is, you know, measurable data that you can come back to and view through your profile from day to day and see, am I getting better, am I not? And whether there's a graphical overhaul or not, you still have that same end target in mind, right?
Yep. So that's why it hasn't moved up on the priority list, because, you know, our users are enjoying it. It gets the job done. And we're still able to accomplish it. And we're able to reach a lot more people and allow a lot more folks to, you know, get on. So, and which is, you know, which is part of the goal of really enabling esports.
Right, for sure. So I'm going to shift into another topic, and Chase has some firsthand experience with this, but I want to talk about the Gwoop Esports Enablement Grant, which has been active if my memory serves me correct, since fall of last year, 2021, and just basically been helping out Scholastic Esports programs, giving out prizes as well. I think you had a partnership with Logitech and also some money as well. You have access to more data than I have. How much in money and prizes have y'all helped out Scholastic programs with?
Yeah, I mean, it's about $20,000 in those two things combined. And we've been talking to a lot of different companies about, you know, enabling these esports programs because resources are tight at schools to begin with. You know, like I said, my wife's an educator, so I get that perspective of things really, you know, firsthand here. But at the same time, then esports programs beyond that, some of them, you know, aren't acknowledged as a program at a lot of schools. So they get $0 from the limited pool of resources. So we were trying to think of ways that we can just help continue to grow this and just be, you know, Gwoop at the end of the day wants to be part of and be known for enabling these programs around the country. So, you know, these grants, the spring one, just applications just closed. So I'd love to announce it on your show, like go apply right now, but it'll be back in the fall. You know, we'll take the summer off because teachers are off and they want the time off. They deserve the time off. But at the end of the day, you know, we'll pick the spring winners here in the next couple weeks. And then we'll do it again in the fall, which is really exciting because we get to read a lot of the stories in the applications about these programs and you know what they're doing for their schools and communities and for their kids. And yeah, I don't need to tell anyone here, probably anyone listening, but you know, just the benefits of esports at these at the Scholastic level is so great that yeah, we just want to continue to help support it.
Yeah, that's awesome. And Chase over here over at Van Cleve was actually a recipient of one of the enablement grants. So Chase, you want to give us a how was the process for that? Pretty straightforward, or did you have to jump through a bunch of hoops? Was it just the most terrible thing ever?
Honestly, no, it wasn't. And just on a side note, I still have the little post-it note that has the message from Gavin. Awesome. When that's on my computer. And it's a, you know, like you said, you kind of feel like you're alone, but you know, through GWOOP, one of the biggest things is that, you know, not only was a check sent to us, but like a personalized note. And it sits on my teacher computer, remind me that there are, you know, folks out there that want to help, and they're going to do everything they can to help. You know, initially when I was told about it, I was skeptical just because, as the esports coach, and since it's extremely popular right now and it's growing, you never know where people are at at all.
That's a good
you
point.
Don't know if they're in it for them, if they're in it for other folks, if there's, you know, like, okay, I accept this, you know, thanks for the donation type of thing. And then you've got all this other stuff that you've got to do that you feel is unethical or uncomfortable because it's not your wheelhouse. So I'm not going to lie. I mean, I looked into GWOOP and the founders and face stalked and Twitter searched. And, you know, like, I want, like, if I'm going to receive money and then give it to my school to go in an account, like, I want to know who I'm, you know, quote unquote, getting in bed with to an extent. And I was like, yeah, this is, you know, this is a legit group that, you know, I don't mind putting my program's name with. And then I completely forgot to apply. And Patty from put it back in our chat, and I was like, oh, it's tonight. And so I sat down in 30 minutes and wrote it out real quick, got a friend of mine to proofread it just so, because it was late. And then I sent it in. I was like, I did my part. I don't know what's going to happen now, you know. Then, you know, it was a couple of weeks later, and, you know, my, you know, Twitter and the Coach Rivals and Discord and everything was just, you know, blowing up. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. And then I was like, oh, cool. We won, you know? And I mean, our story was basically like, there's probably tons of them out there, but you know, we have old school donated computers that are discarded. So nobody works on them but us, you know, and trying to figure out how that stuff works, because that's not my wheelhouse. I can use them, but I can't build them, you know? And so like our thing was like, hey, this is what we run off of. And we're trying to upgrade to this. You know, we haven't purchased that stuff yet because we're still saving money, because I don't want to buy a refurb, because refurb can sometimes not work that great. And our IT department kind of blocks it a little bit with very strong suggestions to avoid. So like, it was a great starter to like, hey, you know, we have this money saved up. So now as we fundraise and we can save up, you know, and jump from the 710s that we're working with right now to something better, hopefully in the next couple of seasons. Because my biggest goal is to bring back League of Legends, because right now our systems can't handle it. And the frames drop at half when there are team fights and things like that. So, you know, I'm working with other titles and everything. And so that's my ultimate goal. The hardest thing for me now is the purchase orders and finding people to buy stuff through, you know, and that's more on the school side. I mean, that has nothing to do with the grant. You know, it's here in cash and just sitting waiting to be spent. But just finding, that's for me, that's the loopholes. Like, all right, I find this group, I try to buy it. Oh, they need a purchase order. Oh, we don't do purchase orders. All right, new search starts, you know, and just that type of thing. So our next step is to do that. But, you know, in the biggest thing, I think, is when you apply for this, you're giving them, you're giving GWOOP the, you know, the munition to when they talk to their investors of like, look, this is who you're helping. Mm-hmm. You know, these are real people, whether they have a dissertation or they have, hey, me, I'm next, you know, as a sentence or two type of thing, that, you know, the need is out there, and being able to attach it to a school and to a face and to a group of kids in the back hollering, you know, just it helps you as a recipient, and it helps them as a company trying to help us going from one pocket to the next, you know, and work on our way down.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm glad you mentioned the process. I mean, you sat down 30 minutes, you know, knocked it out, because I know, you know, coming from, you know, education, there are a ton of grants out there, and they can be really arduous processes to apply for grants and things of that nature. But obviously, Gavin, you and Gwoop made it super easy for our coaches to be able to apply for that and just making like really cool changes. So I'm sure like a story like this is really cool, you know, to put a face with a program to know and a face with a name, you know, and that's got to be encouraging to take back to the rest of the team, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's fun hearing, you know, directly from one of the recipients and that you thought it was a good process, because we've tried to make it as simple as possible. You know, trust me, I hear all the time, you know, each day at home, how busy teachers are. And, you know, I talk to a lot of, you know, our users and it's hard, and I understand it's hard, and especially these past couple of years, right? Mm-hmm. But we want to make it as simple as possible, right? It's a few very easy questions, and then just one like, hey, how are you going to use the money, and tell us your story, right? And that's what we want to know and hear from you. And so I'm glad the process was smooth.
Like, for me, the biggest thing, the way I saw it is that it wasn't, you know, how can we use the schools that send us information to our benefit? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I mean, I know that's part of it, but the biggest thing to me, because of the simplicity of it, to me, it felt more like, you know, you guys trying to build a relationship with the groups that are out there. And that's what was appealing to me more so than anything else. You know, it wasn't just a group that, hey, this seems like a cool idea, let's jump on this. But like, you've put a ton of time and background into it, and it's intrinsic to who you are. And so like, as you were passing out money, you know, and scholarships and sponsorships to help people out, you're giving it more feels like you're giving a piece of yourself rather than just writing a check to say, hey, look what we did.
Yeah. And it's funny because I love that you Facebook stalked me and everything. One coach emailed me that did win as well, and it was the first group, and they were like, I've been really watching, and you haven't sent one piece of physical mail, because I have all the school's addresses now and the coach, and it's like, you haven't been marketing anything. And I was like, yeah, that's on purpose. And we didn't collect your address to send marketing materials and spam everyone. It was to mail the check. And he was like, well, you win bonus points for that, because you could have easily just started spamming all these schools that apply. Mm-hmm. That's not our intention. Same thing with like our privacy policy. We're not selling the data. And so we're trying to do things the right way. And so I'm glad you brought that up of, you know, you kind of mentioned, you know, it's part of the reason why, but it, you know, honestly, it's just part of, you know, what we want to contribute back to esports. And then I think if we do things the right way, we'll grow properly. So.
Yeah. And I'm glad, Chase, I'm glad you brought that up, because that was something that, now I'm out of the coaching space now, and so I'm not like over a program or running a program now, but I remember when I was getting emails weekly from another upstart or another company or something, and it was very, very difficult to separate the sheep from the wolves a lot of times, because there are, as you mentioned, it's a booming industry. It's growing week by week by week. Every year we're seeing, you know, leaps and bounds, and there are many organizations or many like brand new, you know, even people that are just trying to make a buck and trying to get in the space while it's hot and while it's still fresh, because it's, I guess, easy to kind of take advantage of people in that space. And I've had to kind of weed through those emails and find that. But I'll echo what Chase said. This was a very, Gavin, you and Tony were always very genuine. And I felt that. And that's, you know, I was happy to get in on, you know, some of the early testing and offer some feedback. And I remember them contacting me, just kind of a side story, contacting me like, hey, it's been a month or it's been a couple weeks. It's time to follow up on what you think about Gwoop. And it was a regular meeting that we had. And I say, well, in the past 2 weeks, this is what I did on the site. And I think this would be a really cool improvement. And I really like this part here. I think you should expand on that. And there was, you know, it was just that investment in the scene and showing that you guys were really interested in developing and growing, not just as a platform, but also the scene as a whole and looking at the entire ecosystem and the health and the longevity of it. And it made it very, very apparent to me that you were invested in that, in the health of this growing. And that really stood out to me.
Thank you. No, that's a big compliment. I appreciate that.
So thinking about that, looking ahead 3 or 5 years, what do you see as Gwoop's place in the esports scene as, you know, time progresses? You know, I know it's maybe difficult to look ahead that far, but, you know, the past 2 years have been pretty wild. So I don't know if I want to look ahead, see what the next 3 years are going to contain, hopefully something better. But, where do you see Gwoop in the next 3 to 5 years?
You know, Gwoop, I would love for them to be just in the middle of the esports training world. Mm-hmm. I think training, that term training, means a lot of things. And I'd like to expand that platform toward that. And the industry is going to keep growing, right? And I mean that beyond Scholastic, right? Scholastic, the pro scene, semi-pro, amateur. It's just going to be so much more like they have in traditional sports, you know, beer leagues, you know. And I'd love Gwoop to be in the middle of that. Beyond just the athletic part of it, and you brought up kind of the warm-up, right? The stretching. You know, I see a lot of, mental health stuff that Gwoop can be a part of, meditation, and just have different elements within our platform to help really schools and coaches kind of observe their players and help them improve in different aspects of life. At the end of the day, esports, you know, there's a lot of benefits of it. And again, the viewership here understands the many benefits of it. But I'd like Gwoop to be able to help, you know, prove some of those out, whether it be like the social emotional learning and soft skills that you develop as being part of an esports organization. Those are things that, you know, we're actually discussing and working on already. So it'll be fun. And I'd love to 3 to 5 years, Gwoop to just kind of be just a household name if you're in the esports industry.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you mentioned, you know, training, and that is what Gwoop is known for. I mean, when you go there, you see the word training. It's everywhere. It's primarily, that is the goal. And Chase is one of our coaches that really emphasizes training and that those things outside of the game. Chase, I remember seeing you on Twitter doing push-ups or jumping jacks with your players. So I know you're a major proponent of not just being in the game all the time. So how important are those outside activities to a program like yours and all the ones for our coaches in our community?
Well, not just like the physical activity, but, you know, being able to change up. I mean, I noticed when we talk about, you know, more established sports and stuff, you know, in high school, or not even high school, but even in college, where like the basketball team would come out and, you know, play a pickup game with the softball girls, right? And they would do this big fundraiser, and you see these big, huge guys that, you know, are just destroying the court and taking shots everywhere, but they swing a bat like it's a broccoli stick, you know, like they have no clue what they're doing. Like there's no crossover. Like you're only a basketball player, right? And you know, when it comes to you know, competitive gaming, I mean, yeah, you've got keyboards, you got controllers and everything, but I think the core mindset of all the games is very similar. So if you are able to find something that allows your team to back away from their their one skill, you know, whether it's Rocket League or Smash, whatever it is, and be able to do something else, then they're able to create a secondary skill set that's outside of what they're really good at, you know. And like, heck, some of these typing things where you can use the whole keyboard on Gloop, it may be now they're learning how to type. Mm-hmm. You know, I may be able to do, you know, QWER or WASD, you know, and some keystrokes for Fortnite to build, all that kind of stuff. And I'm really good with that, but I'm still, you know, or I'm doing using only these three fingers, you know, to type, and it's exhausting. So, I mean, there's a lot of cross play to be able to do that. Plus it's being able to build with them. Cause let's face it, I can't keep up with my players. They're all better than me. And if they aren't, they get there fast. Mm-hmm. And so I know I can do more push-ups than them. And, you know, I know that, you know, we go out there and we do squats. And like right now you drop a controller, it's 15 push-ups, you know, and like it's gotten to the point where everyone, if someone drops it, then everyone does it together. So it's created a team activity type of thing. And then, you know, we have a running tally board in our other room, you know, with the how quick do you, you know, your reflex. Sorry, I'm old. I don't have a reflex. So, you know, the reflex, so that we have this leaderboard and stuff, and, you know, and I'm solid at like 220, but these knuckleheads are hitting like 150s and 170s and stuff. And I'm like, oh, you guys make me sick. But, you know, I was a teenager once too. So for me, you know, capping it all is like doing something different than what you're here to do is going to help develop interpersonal skills between them. They're going to be working towards not only a personal goal, but a team goal that's not esports related. That just, I mean, it ultimately just translates well to anything they put their mind to, because they're able to transition from some one thing to the next and then back and just go back and forth.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. So we're wrapping up. I just got a couple more questions for you, Gavin. So one of the things that I like to kind of throw to organizations that are in the scene and all that, I really like asking them, what are they doing to improve the scene? Like, what is something that they are looking to say, I see that as a problem? How can we tackle that? And I was going to ask you, what is the biggest challenge faced in Scholastic Esports? But I'm gonna change it up a little bit. I'm gonna let any challenge, not necessarily the biggest, but what is, you know, a challenge that you see Scholastic Esports teams facing, you know, in this space, and how is Gloop seeking to remedy that?
Yeah. So in Scholastic Esports,
And we may have already we've actually touched on a few problems already.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I talk to most of our partners, and that's the key to building anything. I'd say I'm not going to rank them number one, number two. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're obviously going to be different for different schools, but time and resources, right? I mean, most all of these coaches or league directors or, you know, whatever role they're playing in this Scholastic Esports space are, you know, doing it for free, doing it after teaching all day, whatever it may be. And teachers are exhausted, you know, like we already talked about it. And so Gloop is really trying to make sure esports stays alive, and we know they're giving it their all, and so we want to be a resource for them to do that. We created it, our team's functionality, to simplify practice for them, right? Make it easy. You can assign training regimens. We have pre-populated training regimens, like depending on what games you play, whether it be Fortnite or League. They can create for, you know, the more advanced coaches, they can create custom ones, no upcharge. and so, you know, really trying to simplify it for them, and then so that they can, you know, have time to look at the data if they want to, and just really making it easier for them to create practice for them. And then, of course, being that resource both on that front, but then having different avenues to win the grants so that they can grow their programs. We're really trying to find good partners to have more of those and mm-hmm. do things a little differently. It's an interesting world out there. I mean, you've brought it up earlier. It's, you know, we've had some partners approach us on being part of our grants, but they want the mailing list mm-hmm. or, you know, and so it's an automatic no for us. But, you know, so we're finding the right partners to be able to do that and continue to bring resourcing out for the schools. So,
yeah, that's awesome. And Chase can attest to this too. I mean, you're exactly right. We have coaches that just run the spectrum of experience, and not only experience with gaming, but time that they have in order to invest, but also what resources they have from the school itself. If it's a varsity program, they might be able to, you know, dip into those athletic funds. If not, then they're kind of on their own. We have a lot of coaches that sell popcorn. Apparently that's the most bumping fundraiser.
Number one gaming.
It's the craziest thing. Somebody posted something the other day that I think Lucas posted. He sold like $750 worth of popcorn. Like who knew?
It's unreal. Yep.
So obviously, you know, getting money is definitely a thing. The experience, I think, is also really, really important and tough, because that is one of the general questions that a brand new coach comes in and asks is, what does practice look like? And the high school that I was at, they recently got a new coach to take my place. And when I went and met with him, that was one of the first questions that he asked. What does practice look like for esports? And it's crazy, because it really isn't much different from traditional sports. And he's a former baseball coach. So I was able to tell him that, like, listen, it's really not that different. It's just you're using those different tools instead of going, you know, and running laps around the baseball field or doing circuit training or something. You're doing it more in maybe a digital landscape and things of that nature. So it's really cool that y'all see that and are giving coaches those solutions. I do want to hit you with one really tough question. I thought this was a really tough question. This is actually a listener question from Hernandez Teaches. He asked this. He's out of Texas. Says, what does your data show in terms of improvement for players who use your platform versus players who don't?
Yeah. So we don't have data on players that don't use our platform, right? But no, just kidding. But I think it's just like anything. I mean, you're going to improve up to a certain point, mm-hmm. and everyone has that point. And but if you're getting the kids young, like we are with most of our scholastic programs, and them inviting their friends on to play, they have a lot more room for improvement, right? Mm-hmm. So, but if us three all jump on every single day, we'll improve, but only up to a certain point, right? Because we're only we can only get so much faster. We can, to your point,
I'm getting slower.
Yeah. Okay. Our reaction times are technically slowing down now, right? So yeah, you can only improve up to, you know, up to a certain point. But there's a lot more room for improvement with, you know, the younger gamers. And so, and they're definitely more willing to put in the time. And so, you know, what we're seeing is, you know, Gloop works, you know, for that younger group. And these games translate into improvement in the gaming world and in the real world as well. And so it's exciting progress that we're able to show and do.
Yeah, for sure. So final question before I get into that, I want to talk a little bit about sound like kind of some teasers in the future. So Chase, I don't know. Chase, I think you know this, but for our upcoming Coach Rivals League of Legends season, we're going to have three tiers. We have our tiers of different teams who come in, but we are actually going to be incorporating Gloop into our summer league. So I don't have all the details. Cooper's got all that, but it's, I'm looking forward to it, because over the summer, the podcast shifts into almost, instead of talking about just general esports things and just League of Legends, like in a general sense, we do focus on our players and our coaches and the matches and all the really cool things. So I'm looking forward to posting our coaches leaderboard, you know, who in our Discord server has the fastest reaction time, who's got the best keyboard speed, and we can, you know, maybe show that data alongside of what teams they're playing on and see, you know, I'll send you that data. Yeah. How about that?
Yeah, I love it. And get the coaches competing. That's fun.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. So, Chase, do you have any smack talk before we get into the summer season? Do you anticipate dominating the group leaderboard? Anybody in the Coach Rivals server that you have a target on that you're going after?
In all honesty, I think for me, I'm going to be in the highest tier level, and so I'll be probably fairly dehydrated by the time it's all done. I've found my cap. I think I've found that from the get-go. But no, the good thing about the Coach Rival stuff is that the people that we don't get, that we play a lot with during the summer and that we don't get to see during the school year because, you know, we either play, you know, different games or, you know, have different schedules and time zones, we're able to get together and start right back up where we left off, type of thing. So if there was one person that I'm going to target, it's probably going to be Dave. Yeah.
Okay.
It's I haven't played with him in a while. Played with him last night and everything. We left off right where we started, right where we left off again. So I'm pretty sure Dave is just going to get wherever he's at. I'm going to get 1 point more than him, or a half a second lower, just out of spite. That's just I'm going to price is right him the whole summer. I don't even care what position I'm in.
I like it. And of course, on Gloop, you can add friends and then challenge your friends too from your friends list. So, I'll be looking forward to that for sure. But, Gavin, before we let you go, you mentioned a backlog of things that's in development.
I thought you were going to let me off the
hook. I'm not going to let you off the hook. Can you give us one thing that Gloop is working on that you can kind of tease us with to look forward to, and maybe even something that could be ready by summer before our coaches have our full summer campaign with it, maybe?
Well,
no promises, of course. I know we're not going to hold you to it, but
I'll give you a couple things.
Okay.
The one that'll be ready by summer is something really cool and exciting. It's called Play to, or Design to Earn. Taking off of all the Play to Earn stuff out there right now. If you've been on recently, it is we have our digital avatar where you can, you know, do a t-shirt or outfit or costume and background for your group avatar. And one thing we're doing is allowing our users to design their own t-shirts and sell them on Gloop for real dollars. Wow. And it's a good chunk of the change. And it's actually part of that is, you know, the gamers love making money. But think creatively, schools can do that as part of their fundraiser, sell, you know, whatever design you want to do, and as a fundraiser on Gloop. So that'll be ready by summer. That's the only thing I'm going to commit to by summer, because otherwise my Discord is going to start blowing up
from, right,
my team screaming at me. But another fun thing that will be worked on that I am not promising for summer, but it's events. Awesome. So like if Coach Rivals wanted to have an event, and have a tournament, a group tournament, and have different, you know, levels of competition and create that, you know, that roster of, you know, attendees and participants. Unfortunately, I don't think that's going to be ready for you and, and for you to take Dave down, but, as much as I'd love to see it, but, that'll be something in the future backlog amongst a lot of other fun things. So keep an eye out for Design to Earn, because that'll be a fun one.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm seeing the evolution of esports fundraising, where we got popcorn and Gloop jerseys for designing on the side. And yeah, now we're the possibilities are endless.
That's right. So,
and the other great thing is that, I mean, I don't personally have one, but I know that Gloop uses great t-shirts. So yeah. I'm hoping that that quality and the design comes through, you know, and we're.
Oh, but you don't personally have one, huh?
No, I'm just, not at all.
Just throwing that one out there. I love it.
That's really cool stuff, you know, so we're definitely, I know I'm personally, my program is grateful in that where y'all's heart and your spirit is, and you've got the esports programs around the country and world that are, that know who you are, you know, best interest at heart. And it speaks volumes that you're protecting our privacy, you know, as much as we do as teachers and coaches to protect our kids.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
We'll have to get you a t-shirt.
Oh, yeah. See, look, and this is, everybody heard it. Okay. Everybody heard it. He said it. Awesome. Well, Gavin, thank you so much for joining us. It's this was everything I expected it to be and more. Just a good time, and I'm so glad that you're willing to take the time out of your busy schedule to join us. Chase, as always, thank you for being a stellar co-host. And
thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
No, I'm blessed to have you here. So again, everybody, thank you so much. Be sure to check out Gwoop over at gwoop.com. That's GWOOP.com, and keep your eye out for those updates coming. Gavin only gave us two of those updates, but I'm sure there's a lot more on that backlog that's coming your way. So either way, thank you for joining us. We'll see you all next time.